morning we will finish up Showtime, and this may be the third in our Showtime series. And we in the book of Revelations, the second chapter of Revelations, 12 through the 17th verse, and it's kind of recapping what we've went over before, but to finish it off, he was writing to the church at Pergamos and the problems that he had with the church at Pergamos. And I told you the Pergamos church was like the end, like this church, you know, the end time church. And it was what had happened with Israel to cause them to be removed from the face of God. And this Pergamos church is the church throughout the ages and throughout the times, in a combination with the end time church, that had been infiltrated with false doctrine. That false doctrine that was introduced by Balaam. And he gave advice after he couldn't curse the children of Israel. He gave advice on how to contaminate the children of Israel. That if God had blessed them and he couldn't curse them, but by introducing a doctrine, by introducing fornication or adultery unto them, if the women of Moab would go into them, that they would violate the covenant that God had them under, saying that ye shall not be unequally yoked, that you shouldn't unite with the inhabitants of the land, that you shouldn't allow holiness to be contaminated, because holiness is purity. We're to stay pure, we're to keep our garments white and unspotted. That's why Paul told Timothy to take heed during his absence or whatever, but to take heed to study the scriptures, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus and Paul, Peter, and all of the apostles admonished the people that they should contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, because there be many antichrists in the world. There be many false prophets and false teachers coming in, and they're trying to sway you away from God's word, because the preachers of the false prophets know, just like the saints of God know, that a little leaven leaven the whole lump. That's why he told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. For the leaven of the Pharisees contained, the doctrine of the Pharisees contained leaven. But since the Pharisees had the word of God, the oracles of God, just like we have the word of God, the oracles of God, we have to be careful to listen to the word of God, take heed to it, that we have spiritual ears, that we be able to interpret the right interpretation of the word of God. Because in the latter days there be wolves entering into the in sheep's clothing to deceive and to allure the flock away from following the pure and true doctrine of Jesus Christ. So as worldliness was introduced into Israel, as they did where we read in 2 Kings 17 chapter, they did the secret sins, those things that were forbidden by God to do. They adopted the customs of the and traditions of the people of the land, and they didn't know what these traditions, they didn't know what a lot of it stood for, just as we have today. And God therefore cried out to them in Revelations, the 18th chapter, in the first verse, as this began to happen through the Apostle John. He wrote, he says, and after these things, Revelations 18, 1 and 2. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And we know by the parable of the sower that the birds of the air that was could take the word of God away from the children of Israel, from the children of the church, that the word of God had been sown in their hearts, but the birds of the air would come in and take that word away. We see birds, a lot of times the unclean birds, portrayed as evil and wicked spirits. And here Babylon is a church. Babylon is a religion. Babylon is a false system. And it's that false system that had begun with Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter before the Lord, where they had built the Tower of Babel, which was self-centeredness, the reason God scattered the people. That's why it says, the people that has become as one and nothing would be withheld from them. They were united in religion and in government. And God scattered the people and gave them another tongue. We see this beast arose in the guise of Constantine during the Dark Ages, during the time of the church, where the church had infiltrated Rome. Nero had passed from the scene. They allowed emperor worship in the first place of emperor, a city that was allowed to build a temple to a living emperor was this one at Pergamos. That's why God says in Revelation, he know where Satan's seat is, where Satan rules from. God knows where you are today. Today, Satan's seat is throughout the world. It's throughout the world where Satan rules at and reigns at. Because in scriptures, he says, Satan has woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down to you. Because when Jesus kicked him out of heaven, Jesus said in one of the gospels, he said, and he beheld Satan fall like lightning unto the earth. So Satan fell, that demonic spirit fell to the earth and inhabits the earth. So he says the prince of this world had been cast out. Now, who was the prince of this world? Who is the prince that was slain? It was Satan, that strong man that Jesus had bound, and he was going to take over his household through the church. That's who he gave the power to bind Satan and to do greater works. Because Satan is known as the what? The God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. And we know Jesus told Pilate his kingdom wasn't of this world. But he was talking a spiritual kingdom. But his disciples looked, and when they reconciled this with scripture, and that God had promised David, under the Davidic covenant, that the reign of David, the scepter wouldn't depart from Judah until a lawgiver being come, and that was going to be Jesus Christ himself ruling on that throne. So we will see a human government, a human kingdom up on this earth that's going to infiltrate Satan's kingdom. So as Babylon rules, this Roman government, this Catholic, and that's what it was, it was the Catholics during that time. Constantine came to rule. When the Roman Empire was coming up, Constantine wondered, how could he amalgamate? How could he bring the Christians into his citizenship, into the Roman Empire? Because this was destroying the empire. Satan is very wise. Jesus said in the book of Daniel, though, the union of this kingdom, it was going to be like mire and clay. The 10 toes of this beast is going to be like iron and clay mixed together, that it wasn't going to be cohesive. In other words, it wasn't going to be unite together. It wasn't going to be strong enough to withstand. So Constantine said that he had seen a vision of a cross, and that if he won, that he would worship Jesus, and that he would turn the whole kingdom into Christianity. So as Constantine came in and started to rule, they brought in all of the false cults. That's when we got Sunday worship. The Catholic Church brought Sunday worship into the church. That was the day they reigned, that they worshiped their god Ray, under the other names. They brought in Christmas, they brought in their pagan holidays, and I gave you the thing on Tammuz. And this is not only Tammuz. We know Venus was virgin born. We know Zeus and some of the others that they worship, because They could worship a pantheon of gods. The Israelites, the Jewish people, was the only ones that was monotheistic. That's why you see that Cyrus and the other kings, Nebuchadnezzar was saying Daniel's God is the true God. They worship other gods, but they knew of the true and living God. And that's what happened to Israel. We see in chapter 17 that they had begun to worship other gods secretly. In Baal and Nimrod, Thomas was also called the Lord Baal. So Lord, you know, that's why God said there'd be lords many and gods many, because your God is whoever you worship, whoever you serve is your God. That's your Lord and God. But that's why Jesus said, many of them come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he said, I'll never knew you, because you were serving idols under the guise of Jesus Christ, because you didn't allow that doctrine to be purged away from you. So as it says in Revelations about every foul and unclean bird, and that Babylon had become the habitation of devils, the church had apostatized. It had moved away from God. It says in the latter days there was going to be a falling away. That was the apostasy of the upright teaching of the gospel. So what was going to happen, Satan ministers was going to be transformed into ministers of light. So that's, you know, a lot of times you see the mega churches, the mega evangelists and things on television and whatever. And the Bible tells you that the whole world wondered after the beast, because they had brought in, in other words, the church, this false church had become the habitation of every foul, every pagan thing that you could name. You remember I was telling you it was only several years ago that the church drug the Super Bowl. They drug that Trojan horse into the church. That you would see every church on Super Bowl Sunday, they would have the giant screen televisions and this, and they take everything that the pagans had. They took Christmas away from the pagan. They took Easter away from the pagan. Mardi Gras, that's to Bacchus. That's to the god Bacchus. And that's why you have kings ruling and reigning doing those different parades. You got Rex, Zeus, all these other things. And those are the ones, tables that you eat at. You're serving them as servants. The church have wandered after all these demons. That's why you run along the highways, and whether they throw in your beads, coconuts, or a little trinkets and things, throw me something, mister. You pleading, you out of there in their festivals. And see, the real celebration, they don't allow the peasants in. That's why Jesus Christ said at the end of the Pergamos church that he was going to give you a white stone and on which is a name that nobody knew of, that was in Revelations 2 and 16, I think it was. He said, repent. He says, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in this stone the name, the new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receive it. To their celebrations or whatever, and some of to their court cases, there were white stones and there were black stones. The white stones allowed admittance to these celebrations. So you're outside of the pale, though. You only get invited to the parades to celebrate and to worship these kings and the prince of these balls and things. But if you notice, a lot of times you see it in the newspaper or hear about it, of the Mardi Gras parade, the dinner in Washington, different places where these kings and things, they have coronation celebrations, and they have great balls and so forth that the normal person is not invited to. But Jesus invites everybody that overcomes to his marriage supper of the Lamb. But what the true thing behind these festivals, just like the true thing behind the Masons and all these other things, The pundits, the people don't really know. The sheep, the lower order of the people, don't know what they're worshiping, or don't know what the higher ups are really doing, or actually what they worship. Paul said you can't eat of the tables of devils and of the Lord's table. So that's why he tells you to come out of the world. You go celebrate, and I've showed you Easter and Lent, and I told you about all these days, and maybe like St. Patrick's Day. And like I say, no man that is created by God should be worshipped. Whereas the Catholic Church make all these saints that we follow, and St. Patrick, St. Valentine, all these saints that you have a celebration or something to, and all of them are drunken festivals. That's why he says that teach my people, verse 15, to eat those things that are sacrificed unto idols. That was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Because if these women bare their chests at Mardi Gras, they get a lot of rewards. That you have more fornication going on after parades, after all these celebrations and holidays and so forth, than you can imagine. And it says food sacrificed to idols. And as Paul said, we know an idol is not anything, and that we can eat all things, you know, are lawful unto us. But he said it's not expedient, because what stands behind that, suppose the people that know that Christmas is pagan, so you celebrate Christmas. The people that know that certain things are pagan, then you've entered into alliance to cause your brother's conscience to be defiled. And that's why Paul says meat was lawful to him. But he said, but if it defile his brother's conscience, he shall eat no meat. So if you sacrifice, and if you're going to these things and you're saying you're just being tolerant or getting along, that's why what he had against this church. You allowed those in the church to hold these doctrines. He says you have them there that hold to these doctrines. They're right in your midst, and you go along with these people. See, church people, we couldn't be tolerant. Jesus wasn't tolerant to sin. Jesus wasn't a compromiser to sin. He didn't compromise with the Pharisees, not when it was concerning doctrine. So what has happened, the world had compromised, and a lot of people, I'm just going to church with my parents and this and that. Well, if you know Easter is a sunrise service, and that was worshiping the sun god, that all of the fertility eggs and the rabbits and things that had something to do with the fertility god Baal, and that Semiramis was saying that she was fertilized by a supernatural power, and that's how Tammuz rose from the dead, and that during the time of Lent, that 40 days that she was mourning, and the children of Israel was weeping for Tammuz also. But if you know all this is tied to Easter, why would you celebrate these things? It's in Ezekiel, why he takes Ezekiel in the temple and shows them with the men's backs toward the west, they were worshiping toward the east. That's where the sunrise at. It was in the morning. That's the early sunrise services. See, but God has showed us how to worship him. And he said, now beware, if you go into the lands, you could be taken away with their cults, with their traditions. He told Solomon, now why is it Solomon was? He came to Solomon two times in dreams and said, Solomon, your wives will draw your heart away from me. It's going to be your wives that do this. And he started building temples to his wives, Chemosh, Moloch, Ashtar. Ashtar is Easter, the Easter goddess. You wonder how rabbits and eggs has anything to do with this Easter. The egg was a symbol of fertility and a symbol of this. Well, let me not get on too many rabbit trails here. But all these holidays was after the traditions and commandments of men. July 5th was even tied to something. You know, a lot of people don't realize that that's why you have Juneteenth or whatever this celebration is, because it was a while before a lot of the slaves had realized that this doctrine had been signed, the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed to release them. See, what you don't realize, you've been released from the bondage and the corruption in this world, and God don't want you to go back and get entangled with this yoke of bondage. Whereas Satan wants you to become entangled in the things of this world. The reason a lot of people are behind right now is trying to have a good Christmas for their children. They went and bought all this stuff that they wasn't able to buy at that time. And then a lot of people will come out on Easter Sunday, buy a whole lot of new stuff, and no more the rest of the year until Christmas would you see them in a church. God knows the intents of the heart. So the world had become the habitation of all this false stuff that was introduced by Balaam, that's being introduced by the preachers. And how does it sound right? A lot of preachers use this as fundraisers, that it's his birthday, and his birthday you get, should give him $47, $470, or $4,700, and everybody's going to have this honorarium for the pastor. Well, if the pastor is a shepherd, a sheep like we are, see, that's what gets away from the church. A lot of times, the pastor thinks he's more than the lay member of the church, whereas he's a sheep also. There's only one chief shepherd. All the rest of them are under shepherds. Jesus is the chief shepherd. So he's the same as we are. He's just positionally different, that he has been made a pastor, but he's like the rest of them. So if you're going to have a celebration for your pastor's birthday, shouldn't you celebrate the deacon's birthday also and give them something? Shouldn't you do that for the choir people also? Shouldn't you do that for everyone in the church then? You see what these holidays and things do? See, because you're given to idol in man worship. A lot of people go broke with these jerseys and things to have this running backs or this quarterbacks or this basketball players. And in other words, you got some other man's name on your back. You didn't pay the $80 to $120 for that jersey. And who knows, it's a monetary world. Drew Brees may not get the money he wanted, so you paid $100-some for his jersey. Now they've traded him and paid Manning to some other team, and now what happens to the jersey, to that team or that person that you were united to in worshiping? It's good that these are good players and good people, but you shouldn't say that you're that guy that you say, well, he really can play good and I like to see him. But I don't want his name on my back. I'm Emerson Jackson. You know who you are? It's good to be yourself. See, but they want you worshiping and looking at someone else. That's what television is about. That's what all these things, that you become filthy dreamers, that you can sit in the church and that you want to become this and become that. That's what goals and aspirations does to you. And Paul said, be content with such that you have. See, sometimes you see somebody else with a new car and your wife or your husband or somebody getting competition with the world. Instead of you living the way you living and living the life you're living, you didn't got in competition. That's what John said, that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. To be somebody, I got to pay $400,000 or $500,000 to stay out here in this subdivision, in this house. And if you bought that house in the subdivision of the place you grew up with, it would be $500,000 cheaper. In other words, you didn't pay $400,000 for a name. There are some subdivisions, the lot, you have to pay $300,000 for the lot beside how much the house that sits on that lot is. How many square footage it has to be. But you would pay. He says, my people have prostituted themselves. In other words, went a whoring after the world. We have become worldly, and that was because of the doctrine. And then we don't want nobody to tell us anything. The churches are saying the governments are trying to take over their lives now, and the government is doing this. Well, hold on now. Didn't you play the harlot back there? Didn't you take $40,000 or $50,000 from the government through that faith-based initiative to build that building you did, to do this and to do that? You went there and took the money. You played the harlot through this faith-based initiative. You brought the government into your life. You brought this same devil this thing that you calling the devil, you the one brought it into your life. The devil can't get in here unless somebody bring him in here. He don't have feet. He can't walk. He has to be in somebody. If the devil's in your home, somebody brought him there. Because God had cast him out. And only what we allow Satan to do is what he can do. If we would mortify the deeds of our body so that Satan wouldn't reign in our body, and that we would obey it in the lust thereof. I tell you, the Nicolaitans, that was the laity of the church. They had an eternal security doctrine. And we had the Council of the Nicenes. This Nicolaitan, a lot of people said it came through the deacon Nicholas. That was ordained, was one of the seven deacons that was ordained during that time. Well, we can't track it to exactly who it was or who started the Nicolaitan. But we know it was had something to do with the clergy. As people say, once saved, always saved. And that you saved and you could live any kind of way you wanted. You can use that liberty as a cloak to hide and do, throw a rock and do anybody any way you can, live any kind of way you will, and God's going to rapture you out of here. And that teaches the church, instead of living through suffering, instead of living through hard times, it preaches victory and conqueror. You remember what I tell you the name Nike means? It came from the word Nike, from the very shoes that we buy. It means victory. It means conqueror. That's what Nike, that God is still around. They had them out standing out there to buy that God a few weeks ago, outside the malls, paying $200 and $300 to buy a pair of Nikes that glow in the dark. Those are their gods. Don't tell me our stars don't do it. To buy a pair of Jordans, to buy this guy's tennis or whatever, and you pay more for tennis than you ever would put in church. And you'll kill somebody over these tennis, over this jacket, over this because it has your God's name on it. That's who you worship. That's the most important thing in your life. They camped out overnight for these things. Black Friday had you camping out overnight for merchandise, sleeping on concrete pavement to be first in line in the store to get material things. But if I hold you 15 minutes over, that preacher surely has got long-winded. But this is what we do. This is what we're doing to the God that we say we love. As we covered the foods and the things that Balaam introduced into the church through his minions, being friends with the world. Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace, I come to bring a sword. The reason we can't win people to Christ is that we don't actually believe in the doctrine that we teach or preach. That's why Islam is one of the most growing religions there is at this time. Because they look at our religion and they say we're hypocritical in what we say. We say one thing and do another. And Christ has said, you've caused my name to be blaspheming among the Gentiles. That's why judgment starts at the house of God. That's why we have to judge our own. That's why I come after the politicians that started naming the name of Christ, that they say they're religious. Because Paul told them, he says, I wrote to you in another epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man is called a brother be a fornicator. Huh? That's what he says. Covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner, which such as one knoweth not to eat. That's why I keep telling you, don't eat with people that are in the church. He says, don't keep company with someone in the church that's living a hypocritical lifestyle. It's a lot of the members know what the pastor's doing. It's a lot of the members know what the other people in the church do. That's a conspiracy there. In that this is going on in the church and you allow these things to go on. Paul was telling them about they were allowing, they thought that they were great, that they were tolerant because they were allowing this man to stay in the church that was going with his father's wife. Paul said, can't you judge those that are within? He says, for what have I to do to them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth them. Therefore, put away from yourselves from among you. That is in the church. That's why I say it was erroneous for the church should go out and talk about abortion issues, should talk about all these other issues to the world, because he told us to go and preach the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's no condemnation there. The gospel is good tidings from Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God has come. The judgment comes when we judge within ourselves. That's why he says, if you judge yourself, you shall not be judged. That's why we examine ourselves before doing this. We examine and find out we the problem, that God needs to purge us of our shortcomings. Instead of us out there pointing fingers at the world, because the world is already condemned. So if the world's trying to invent a way to stop rapid birth in the world, what has we to do? He says, Timothy, a good warrior, don't get entangled in the affairs of this world. That you don't meddle with strife that don't belong to you. So if we get the church in the line, if we don't have our daughters and sons out there whoring and whoremongering, what have we to do with those that's out there taking birth controls, aborting babies, or whatever? We need to preach the gospel here. If we kick them out, he says, put them out and let Satan destroy the destruction of the flesh. And that God would work on them, and then they would come back into the church after they realize, after God drive them in. But our problem is that we're not walking upright ourselves. We want to get entangled with everything going on in the world. The world is, Satan is the god of that world. So we are to manage and judge in the church. In the book of Romans, in the 4th verse, it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth afforded. Ye shall be holding up for God, for it is God that's made able to make him stand. God told Pharaoh Necho to go down and fight with Assyria, with the Syrians. Josiah, as godly as king as he was, he went and intervened. And God had told him he was going to go to the grave in peace. Pharaoh told Josiah, said, the Lord has sent me to do this. Don't meddle with strife that don't belong to you. And he ended up killing Josiah, which was a godly man. Don't listen to these people when they're talking about, well, they got a biker ministry, they got a bar ministry. If that guy's sitting in the bar drinking and worshiping his God and boozing himself up, that's not a time to go in and preach the gospel to him. That's not a time to go preach the gospel to somebody that's about to abort their baby. That's not a time. There's a time and a season for all things, Paul said. So if that guy's in there drinking or whatever, God has a time for you to preach to him. I'm sure that that's why they called Jesus a glutton and a wine bibber, because he was around those people, but he didn't condemn them. They said he was one of them, and he spoke with authority. So he was part of the clique. They figure when he let the adulterous woman go, because it was the men wanted to stone her, Jesus allowed her to go. He said, go and sin no more. Some of the most unmerciful people are church people. They shoot their own. You fall from grace. They don't restore you. Church people step on you faster than anybody else step on. God says, you know what is right, to do good, to love mercy, to do justice. But he showed us in Amos that those are the ones that's robbing and killing and stealing. But they're doing it on paper. They're doing it by destroying another's reputation. They're doing it secretly. That's why he says, when the scripture you read, that he knew the Pharisees' hearts. And that's what the church starts knowing, to judge the intent of a man's heart. You need to get the discernment of spirits, because it's going to be many come up to you quoting scripture. And that's what Satan did to Jesus, come up to him quoting scripture. Everybody that call him Lord, Lord is not for Jesus now. Everybody that totes a Bible around is not for Jesus. He says, I'm going to bring a sword. That I'm going to cause your enemies to be those of your own household. In Deuteronomy, he says, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thine sons and thy daughters, which the Lord God thy had given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left in him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Also with the woman, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that coming out from between her feet, the one she give birth to, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. As the word of God comes, and he said then in Pergamos, he says he's the one with the double-edged sword. As you speak the word of God, as you grow in God, your wife will tell you, you got to leave that church. You got to get away from around them. Because she knows that if you stay straight, it's going to be you or her. She wants to get you out there, or he wants to get her out there, where that they didn't abandon God. Now you don't have no help, and they're going to do you what they want to do you. You better stay strong in the Lord. You'll be like Samson. Samson loved Delilah so much that he gave up his Nazarite vow. He ended up with his eyes punched out and grinding at a meal and ended up killing himself. He committed suicide by pushing those pillars down. He said, Lord, I'm about to die. But look, give me the strength just to take a few of these people down with me who had killed me. The wife, she got burnt up. Just like she was playing around with, she got burnt up. What's going to happen to the whores and the whoremongers? The same thing that happened with them. Look at Numbers 31st chapter of Numbers. Balaam had gave this advice. Starting at the 7th verse, when Moses and the people, they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses. We have to be vigilant. We have to see that it's showtime now. That don't be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. That you see that the time is now. It's not some ethereal thing in the future. That is right now. Now is your day of judgment. Now is your time to get right before the Lord. So he said, Moses slew all the males, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evah and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, 5 kings of Midian, and who? Balaam. It was time for Balaam to go. Balaam also of Beor, they slew with the sword. It was time, because he was the one who had given that bad advice. They slew Balaam right at that time. So he says, and the children of Israel, now look what the children of Israel did. He says, they took all of the women of the Midian captives and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle and all their flocks and all their goods. And they burned all the cities wherein they dwelt and all the goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both men and of beasts. And they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar and the congregation of the children of Israel unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are near Jordan at Jericho. Well, by Jordan, near Jericho. Was Moses satisfied? Because the children of Israel was doing this. They wasn't mature in the Lord. They wasn't grown. He called them the children of Israel. That's why you need a leader. So Moses and Eleazar, the priest, all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth. In other words, Moses was mad with the officers of the host. He says, with the captains over thousands and with hundreds and with them that came from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you saved all of the women alive? He said, have you saved all these women alive? He said, behold, these are the ones that caused Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation. That's the woman that got you in trouble. That's the man that caused you to leave the Lord. That's your husband. That's your wife. That's the one that brought this idolatry into your life. He says what he says to do. He says, but all the women, now therefore kill every male among the little children. That's why people don't like the God of the Old Testament. He says, among all of the children, he says, now kill every male among the little ones and every woman that had known a man by lying with him. Every woman that went around whoring and going in there through treachery, seducing you to have relationship with her, with you, to draw you away from me. And you remember we was talking about influence. That's where the woman have influence over the man. A lot of men go, okay. Falling behind the woman, they'll leave God. They'll leave the church. They'll leave their family. It's got people getting a relationship and leave wife, children, everything else and go to another state. Go to another place or something. God says, kill all of these. Now, you remember I told you God gives you discernment of spirit so that you can know the intents of the heart, so you can know these. They had to have some kind of discernment because I've been trying to read and find out how they know which one of these women had had a relationship with men or not. That gets to where you don't want to discuss that, where the young children could see. But he says, all those that had a relationship with a man, kill them. But he says, the ones that have not known man by lying with him, keep alive for yourself. You could keep those women there. Those are the ones, see, because God knows where you are. God knows the women in the church that are living right. God knows the women in the world that are trying to live right. That's why he says you dwell at Satan's seat. He knows your circumstances. He knows the problem that the people at the church with Pergamos was going through. So you just do right. You're supposed to do right. That's what you do.
Got to hurry him.
But he says, and do you abide without the camp 7 days, whosoever had killed any person, whosoever had touched any slain person, both yourselves and your captives on the third day, and you purify yourself. To end this up, let's go to Revelations, because let's see, is this the same God of the New Old Testament that had issued that injunction? Revelations 18. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and with the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So everybody had indulged in this. All of the political figures, everybody. That's why I say this has to be a religious system, because we see the kings and the rulers of the earth, the old earth, had partaken and drunk of the wine of this wrath, because he had told Jeremiah to go and take this cup, that everybody was going to be drunk of this spirit. The wine is symbolic of the spirit. But this was the wrong spirit. This was the spirit of wrath that they had drunk. It was wrong religion. It was wrong worship. It was the wrong way of worshiping God. So he says, and I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people. It's a lot of people in the church. It's a lot of people in these religious systems. It's a lot of people that are tied up in these right-wing, left-wing movements. You need to come out of those things. You need to come out of those churches after you had known the truth and heard the truth. He says, come out of her, my people, so that what? You be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Come out of those churches. He's asking you to come out. Now, you can be disobedient and die, and it will be a many of God's people. Still, this won't get through. So all of them won't come out. A lot of them will be killed during those times, because you'll see that they'll have power to kill those. But the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. All of God's people won't walk this victorious life, because that's why he says to those that who can overcome. It's still people, oh man, but I love it, oh man. She ain't gonna do me nothing wrong. And he, oh man, you know, he's the jewel of my eye. It's a lot of people still hung up on the flesh. It's a lot of people don't realize that your very children or your very parents are the ones that's going to cause you to be put to death. Because it's going to be save yourself. If you think that he or she will go that far with you, you keep living in darkness if you want to. But when the axe fall, it's too late to holler what I should have. Man, I should have did this. And, you know, something told me it's too late for all that foolishness. He asked you to come out. He said, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquities. Reward her as she rewarded you, and double her double according to her works, in the cup which she had filled to her double. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. That one day is a short period of time. That's the day of the Lord's judgment. That's a judgment day. That the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. That's why in Amos he says, woe be unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Those are going to be the ones that's in the church casting out devils, that's feeding the sick and the needy, and say, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? And they, though they did these things and were very religious, he don't deny that they did these things, but he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. But didn't I cast out devils in your name? Depart from me that work iniquity. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Publicans and harlots are entering in before you do. It's going to be people who hadn't walked the way you had walked. And the Lord's going to grant them entrance into the kingdom. And they're going to say, Lord, how did we get here? What's going on? He says, well, Lord, when did we treat you this way? When did we, he says, as you did it unto one of these, the least of mine, you done it unto me. You didn't have a respect of person. You didn't have a knowledge of me. But he who give a prophet a glass of cold water in a prophet's name, in no way shall lose his reward. It's a lot of reporters. It's a lot of people out there stand up for your rights stronger than you stand up for your rights. If you want to make it racial, it's a lot of white people out there standing up for black people's rights stronger than some black people stand up for their own rights. They put themselves on the firing line. It's a lot of black people standing up there uniting with white people. It's not a racial issue. But politics and religion will try to make it racial issue. But you can see the intents of these people hard. And if you go along with them, you will be in that same parlay with them. Because the world is good. God's going to unite his people. You will say, yes, my people were prejudiced. You will say, yes, my people did do the wrong thing. We do need to stand up for the oppressed. That the government is wrong on it. That religion is wrong on it. That's why it says you're not going to tolerate it anymore. The yoke's going to be broken, but what breaks the yoke is the anointing. Until God's church starts standing up. That's why, as we close with the last verse here, finish reading that 18th chapter, though. It's a lot of strength in there. If you would read it, you would see what happened to these people. But the 17th verse says, the 16th verse, you repent. Turn from these ways. Stop tolerating. Stop compromising. Stop just sitting there with people. He that sitteth in the seat of the scorner, in the council of the ungodly. You need to start standing up for the Lord. He says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's with the word of God. The word of God is what's going to condemn you. We're not going to use the flesh of the sword. We're going to use the word of God. God's going to strengthen us. But it's time we walk in that. You can have the things that you say if they line up with Jesus Christ. Because John said, we have those things that we ask of him because we do his will. He's going to equip you. Your life is good. If you would examine yourself, you'll see God's been better to you even when you were unfaithful to him. But that name Antipas, the faithful martyr, it meant witness, not really one that dies for Jesus Christ. That's why it says Antipas, my faithful witness. You see, Antipas was faithful to God. Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to your spouse? Are you faithful to your children? Are you faithful to the things of this world? You know, I love God, but let me do this first. He says, well, you're not worthy to follow me. Because this guy wanted to go back and do something else and take care of these things. If you don't deny yourself and take up your cross, die daily to what you want, your desires, and follow him. Start walking as the apostles did. Stop being like Peter was pre-Holy Spirit. Peter denied he ever knew him, but after he got the Spirit and started walking in the power, he was willing to die for him. Paul was the same way. He was persecuting the church, but he was ready to die for the church. Let's do this quickly. What thou doest quickly. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day to partake of your cup, Lord God, to partake of your spiritual blessings, Lord God, that you had given unto us, strengthen us, Lord God, and in Jesus' name, help your word go home to our heart, and that we be stronger in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.